Well, if you have your Bibles with you today, if you turn me to Isaiah 55, we're going to read the first 11 verses. I want to just talk about it's time. It's time. So if you have your Bibles, Isaiah 55, 1 to 11. It's been nice having some holidays. We didn't really go too far this year. Just stayed at most of the time at Moose Lake, also down in Calgary for a little bit, but enjoyed ourselves there, and lots of relaxation and enjoyment, so that was good. And now it's like the Lord is saying, okay, it's time. Enough vacation stuff, it's time, even though I know people are still on vacations yet, but this is the word he seemed to give me for today. So Isaiah 55, 1 to 11. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your people this morning. And Lord, I just pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak afresh into our hearts and into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I'm sharing a message about it's time. And kind of it makes you feel like, well, Lord, we're still on vacation. Like, yeah, I finished my vacation, but lots of other people are still on vacation. And, you know, we're still in that summer holiday time. And it almost kind of seemed like, Lord, you sure this isn't a message for maybe a couple more weeks down the road? But I really felt that the Lord was saying, no, I want this message for today. Because God's timetable does not operate when it's convenient for us, or when, you know, Lord, when I get all these things done or I finish these things, well, then I'm going to be ready for what you want to do or what you want to accomplish. Well, that's not how it works. We need to be ready whenever God says to be ready. And I really believe there's a fresh call that's going out to say to us that now is the time to get ourselves ready spiritually. And this message comes from the Old Testament, an Old Testament passage, but it's a word stressing to examine the time that we're living in and how we should be responding. Now, as you look at the news and all the things that are happening around us in regards to what's taking place, not a lot of good information out there, not a lot of good news out there. And we can see that things are definitely lining up with the Bible, especially what is going on in the Middle East and Israel. Even again this morning, as you look at the news, things that were happening there and rockets going back and forth and so forth. The Bible says when you see those events taking place, you should be looking for a redemption is drawing nigh or drawing near. And, you know, even as we look at our society today, we see people are struggling with life. People are struggling with faith. There's been many that have turned away from faith, and at the same time, there's been many that have turned to faith. But more and more, we're seeing evil being called good and good being called evil. And we're seeing people choosing to believe lies instead of the truth. And so we are seeing evil increasing. We are seeing that things maybe don't look all that great out there in the natural. So we are living in a time of uncertainty. And sometimes it can kind of be easy to get caught up in all the gloom and despair and maybe even wonder, well, God, where are you and when are you going to move? When are you going to start moving and intervening upon the nations? Well, I really believe that we're entering a period of time where we are going to see God break the silence and begin to speak and move in ways that we've not seen before. You know, already we are hearing of mass salvations. We're hearing of mass baptisms, of people turning to faith in Christ. And as we see that happening in different parts of the world, we need to be saying, God, how about right here? How about right here in our community? How about right here in this province? How about right here in this nation of Canada? I think we need to be praying for that because God is moving. And I've been noticing more and more, even locally here, how there's more and more opportunities. I hope you're seeing the same thing, to share and talk about God. And also just hearing of more encounters that people are having with God, even people having dreams. And I've been really hearing a lot of you telling others, and some of you have been telling me as well, of dreams that you have had that were God dreams, where God has showed you something, where God has revealed something to you. And I think that's really wonderful. But as we start seeing that increase, again, that's telling us we need to be ready for what God is wanting to do at this hour. No, I really believe that God in his mercy is going to move upon our world at least one more time. You know, God gave Israel that chance, and I believe God is going to do the same thing to our world, even though we don't deserve it. Like many times, Israel did not deserve the grace of God. They did not deserve the miracles that would start to happen. They did not deserve the intervention by God, but God in his mercy still did that. And I believe he's still a merciful God, still the same God, and he will have mercy upon our world and will minister to our world. But I do believe that God is telling us to expect and get ready for a fresh move of God, where lives will be changed and hope will rise once again. It's almost like I believe that God has decreed something to take place, to happen, and there's no changing it. Nothing that happens in the world and all the efforts of evil are going to stop what God is going to do. And so I really believe that God is saying to us as a church, get ready for what I am about to do. And as we do that, you know, there may be some changes, things that we maybe need to do to ready ourselves for what God is doing or how God may want to use each and every one of us. And so I really believe it's a time to get serious about our relationship with God. So I believe we're coming into that time where we will see many people come to faith in Christ, which is the most important thing. We need to see people saved. God desires no one to perish, but that everyone would come to that place of repentance, that place of faith, and the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ in their life. God does not want people to go to hell. And so I believe we're going to see many people get saved in these coming years. I believe that also we're going to see many people that have walked away from the faith to come back to the faith, and also a time of increased healings and miracles that are going to help people to recognize that God is very real and very much at work in our world and in our lives. And I believe those things are going to be happening. I know if you kind of read some of those articles that are out there, or if you're on the internet, you'll see there's many pastors and prophets and ministers, and there's a lot of people out there saying we're going to be entering a time where God is definitely going to be moving upon our world in great ways. And the purpose of that is to convince people that Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way. That's what it's about. It's not necessarily all about the miracles that we experience a miracle, but those are to draw people to the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. Well, God, as we read this passage here, God was telling Israel that things were about to change for them. Even though they hadn't been totally committed to the Lord, God was saying to them, a change is coming for you. Things are about to change. And we need to believe that for ourselves as well, because I believe we're in for a change. A change is coming. You know, if you took the time to read Isaiah 54, the chapter just before that, There's kind of some neat little verses in there that, to encourage you. I like Isaiah 54, 2-3. It says, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, spare no expense, for you'll be soon bursting at the seams. I think that's a great verse to claim and to pray into. Also another verse, verse 17 at Isaiah 54. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. So if there's some things that have been going on in your life and you've been going through some trials and struggles, there's a vindication that's coming. And no weapon that's been formed against you is going to prosper. God is going to intervene. And so keep looking to the Lord, because there will be breakthroughs. There will be turnarounds. There will be miracles. There will be people coming to faith, people returning to the faith. There's going to be some suddenlies that will take place before the coming of the Lord, which, as we talk about that, looks to be very, very soon as we look at what the Bible is saying and what we see happening around our world. So it really is a time to get serious with the things of God. And I really hope that I'm going to be able to communicate to you that to you today, and just taking some of the highlights out of this chapter where God in his mercy is saying to them, I'm going to move upon this world. And that time is now. And the time to get your house in order is now. And so I just want to look at that a little bit here this morning to encourage you that it's time for each and every one of us, whatever we need to do to draw closer to God or to experience more of God, now is the time to do that. We need to make that decision now and not keep delaying that decision. Well, first of all, we see here in this passage of Scripture, it's telling us that it's time to accept God's call and invitation to come to him. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come. Take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. And so this is basically God is giving us the offer and invitation of salvation. And so if you're finding that there's a stirring in your heart, if there's an interest in the things of God, and obviously there is, or you wouldn't even be here this morning, or you wouldn't be watching us online this morning, well, it's time to respond and make a commitment to the Lord. It's time to come and see that the Lord is good. Come and see that God has good things for you. Come and see that the Lord will work through your life. Come and see that God is going to turn things around in your life and in your circumstances. Come and see how the Lord can forgive you and can turn things around in your life. And so he's saying, I got a free gift. I want to bring you to a place of salvation. I want to bring you to a place where you would experience my forgiveness, where you experience my cleansing, and where you experience my moving in your life. Again, God desires no one to perish, but everyone to come to him and to find faith in him and find salvation. And so he's presenting that gift of salvation. And so if you're finding that there's a longing, there's a pulling inside of you that's directing you to look to God, realize that's God and his mercy. He's calling out to you. He's inviting to you, and he's asking you, it's time to respond to the invitation. It's time to respond to say, Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I welcome you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins and my transgressions, and to help me to live a godly life. And so no more excuses, no more delays. It's time to respond to that call of salvation and to commit our lives to Christ fully. And maybe you're here as well that, you know, maybe you have opened up your heart to Christ, but you know, you just open it up a little bit. Well, God doesn't want a little bit of you. He wants all of you. And he's calling us. It's time to give your all to him. That's what he wants. He wants your all. So it's time to start fan the flame again. You know, if you have accepted Christ at one point in your life and you've kind of grown cold in your walk with God, well, it's time to fan into flame that fire once again for the Lord, because it's time to do that. Now is the time. And God is calling for a response for us to make up our mind, No more wavering in our faith. It's time to get serious about our salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 says this. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. You don't want to accept salvation and then kind of just gradually begin to ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. And so, you know, we can't keep putting things off or letting things grow cold, because today's the day that is important. Today's that day of salvation for all of us. So today is a day to make a decision to follow Christ. No turning back, no more excuses, no more compromise, no more putting things off. Today is the day to accept God's call over your life, to make that decision once and for all, to say, I'm giving you my all. Lord, I recognize that I haven't been giving you my all of late. I've only been given a part of me. Well, God is calling us today. He said, I want your all. It's time to give your all for Jesus. Not some, but all for Jesus. Then secondly, as we look at this passage, it says it's time to invest in your soul. It's time to build yourself up in the holy faith. It's time to invest in your faith and do things that are going to keep you in the faith. It's time to busy ourselves with kingdom work. Isaiah 55:2 says this, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? And so God is asking us today, why are you spending so much time doing a lot of other things that really have no eternal value? You know, and we're all guilty of that. You know, we all get caught up doing things in life, enjoying life, and it's okay to enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy life. But we need to be careful that we don't allow that to begin to consume us where we don't are not passionate anymore for the Lord. So we need to be really careful there. We need to be building up our soul. We need to be building ourselves up spiritually. And, you know, we are seeing, the Bible says, even though we believe that there's going to be many come to faith in Christ in these coming years, the Bible also says there's a falling away that's taking place at the same time. So some people will come to faith and then will fall away. And we don't want to see that happen. That's why we want to keep pushing forward. That's why it's on Pastor Christopher's heart this coming weekend as they're doing those services over at Moose Lake Camp. Wants to get people really established in the faith that they may not be lost, that they may not fall away. And so God's asking us today, what are you doing to build up your soul? What are you doing to build yourself up spiritually? You know, sometimes, you know, we get caught up in life and doing so many things. We're all busy and, you know, we all come up with our excuses. But really, when you stand before God, excuses don't work. They just don't work. And so he's asking us, what are you doing about concerning your faith and about building up your faith? Well, God wants us to build up our faith. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. See, the way to get everything you need and have really true satisfaction in life is to pursue the kingdom first. There's a priority list. We're to pursue him first. And then he says, then I will add all these blessings that you see out there in this world. I can add those unto you, but I'm asking you to put me first. And so again, getting our priorities back in line, that we might experience more of God and get closer to him. And so again, the question, how are you feeding your soul? Are you feeding your soul? Have you grown slack in that area? Have you kind of like, when it's convenient, I'll do that. You know, when I have some time, I'll read the Bible. When I have some time, you know, I'll go to church or I'll do some prayer. No, God is saying you need to start working on your soul, feeding your soul. Getting yourselves ready, getting that spiritual food inside of you. It's time to make investments in your soul once again. Then thirdly, it's time to be listening for God's voice and what he is saying. You know, we're hearing a lot of voices today. Even in Christian circles, we're hearing lots of voices. And, you know, as you listen to all those voices, you'll find that, well, which one's right, because there's different voices that are out there. Well, God is saying the voice that you need to be listening to is His voice. His voice. Isaiah 55, 2 to 3 says, "Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life." It's time to turn your ears to Him, to be in that relationship with God that you hear Him clearly. And obviously, to do that, we need to pursue Him. We need to draw close to Him. As you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. So we're living in a time where our ears need to be wide open. There's lots of things that are taking place in our world. There's lots of prophetic things that talk about the coming of the Lord that are happening in our world right now. And God is saying, listen, it's time for you to have your ears tuned to me, your ears wide open to what I am saying, because He's going to have important instructions for each and every one of us. And so as we try to be in that place where we hear God, we need to, you know, take those times of prayer seriously. Take those times of reading scriptures seriously. Take time to be around people who are hungry for God, and position ourselves that we might hear better, to hear what God is saying. Because His voice needs to be the supreme voice that we hear. You know, not what the internet is saying, not what even the top evangelists might be saying out there in our world today. We need to be hearing for ourselves what God is saying to us. And God is wanting to speak to every one of us. So He's saying, get those ears. Get them attentive. Get them wide open to what He is saying. And as we do that, you know, sometimes God, He might speak to you a heart, a sensation in your heart or in a mind. A thought comes into your mind. Sometimes God will speak through His word. Sometimes God might even speak audibly to you if you're blessed that way. But God is speaking today, and He will bring circumstances, situations, things around you to show you that He wants to speak to you, and we need to be sensitive and open to what He is saying to us, listening to His voice. The main message to the church of Revelation is this, in Revelation 2:7, repeated over 8 times in the book of Revelation. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what God is saying to the churches. So it's really important for us to be listening to the right voices. And each one of us is responsible to hear from God for ourselves. So we need to be saying, God, help my ears to be open. God, I want to hear what You're saying to me. I want to position myself that I can hear what God is saying to me, that I might be obedient to Him and respond to Him. And whether God speaks to me from that yearning in my heart or those thoughts that may come in my mind, maybe God might minister through some signs or some wonders or some dreams or some special occasion. But God will indeed speak to us. We just need to be ready to hear and have our ears wide open for what He is saying to us, that we might be ready to do His will. It's time for us to hear. And then thirdly, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to make the kingdom of God our primary concern. In other words, it's time to get serious about our relationship with God. Time is passing us by. And as we look at events in the world, it should really be encouraging all of us to say, hey, man, I'm really seeing my faith come alive right now in our world. So we better be, you know, more attentive to our relationship with God, and be more serious and to seek Him. And Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near." We're still living in that age where the Lord is near us. He is with us. He's all around us. He's ministering to us. He's speaking to us. He's calling people left and right all over the world. Well, we need to respond to Him before He returns. The time to serve the Lord is today. So it's time to seek Him. Now's the time to serve Him. Now's the time to draw near. He's calling out to us to draw close to Him. And we don't want to be that person, you know, that's going to wait till, I'm going to wait till the final hour, and then, you know, I'll know what to do. Well, you don't want to be in that position, because If you're not ready now, I doubt if we're going to be ready just before he returns. So it's time to be ready now. He's calling us now, not to be putting things off. You know, we should be, again, realizing that Bible prophecy about his return is happening right before our eyes. You know, things that are happening to Israel are coming to pass just as the Bible says. And you read that, especially in the major prophets, it's a lot clearer, actually, than Revelations of what is going to be taking place in the nation of Israel and how God is going to intervene on their behalf. And so we're seeing a lot of that being fulfilled right now. And so Jesus says, when you see that stuff happening, then you need to realize that, you know what, your redemption is drawing very close. Luke 21, verse 28, Jesus says these words. So when all these things begin to happen, not when they're all done, stand, look up, for your salvation is very near. So we need to realize that our salvation is near. Should stimulate us to seek the Lord more and more, to make the kingdom of God our primary concern, and for other things of life just to start to become less important. Doesn't mean it's, you know, life is bad, but I just believe God is bringing us to a place where he's saying, you know what, there's going to be a lot of things I'm going to ask you to just drop, that you might seek me with all of your heart and with all of your mind. And again, God wants to draw us closer. You know, the time of the return of the Lord is soon. And it's the time for us to get back to that first love that we had with God. For many people, when they came to Christ, there was a lot of excitement. And you couldn't shut that person up when they came to that faith. We need to get back to that, where we're passionate about our faith, where we're sharing our faith, where we're telling others about our faith. It's time to seek the Lord while we can. It's time to seek the Lord while he is near. It's time to serve and seek him. It's time to get that passion back and making him a priority in our lives again. See, God is wanting to do more. And he's asking each one of us, draw near. Come closer. Seek me with all of your heart. Then number five, it's time to change our ways. It's time to deal with our stuff. It's time to stop making our excuses. No more this blaming this person or that person, or blaming this situation or that situation. No blaming of our past. It's time to get determined to change our ways and to do it. Isaiah 55:7 says this: let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. You know, that's one of the most beautiful things, that we serve a God who forgives our sin. But, you know, he just doesn't automatically keep forgiving us without us asking, without us coming to the place where we repent of our sins and we say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I haven't been living up to that standard that you call me to. And God, I ask that you would forgive me and that you would give me a new boldness and a new strength to live for you with all of my heart and all of my soul. And so it's really time that we look at ourselves, and, you know, if we see that there's some sin that we've allowed into our lives, then we need to start dealing with that sin. If we look at our lives and we see that, you know, maybe we've gotten a little bit stubborn, you know, we're hearing God, but we're not kind of obeying God. We're kind of being a little bit stubborn, holding back. Well, then we need to repent of that and say, God, no more, man, I'm going to go all out for you. Maybe if we look at our lives, maybe we've been seeing a little bit of rebellion, kind of been rebelling against what the Spirit of God has been saying to us, and we haven't been doing it. It's time to say, no more. I'm sorry, God. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to have my ears wide open. I'm going to start doing what you're wanting me to do. And so those things are very important for us, that we need to get serious about sin, serious about our relationship with God. And you know, if we need to seek God for forgiveness, God is ready to forgive. God is ready to wipe away those sins. God is waiting to help us, to strengthen us, that we might have power over sin and that we might live a victorious life. And so we need to really be looking to ourselves and stop our excuses of a bad behavior or where we're just simply not doing what God is wanting to do. Acts 3:19 to 20 says, "Now repent of your sins, turn to God, so that your sins can be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord." Sometimes, you know, we complain about that. "Well, Lord, I haven't been sensing you. God, I haven't been feeling you. Lord, I haven't been seeing you really active in my life." Well, sometimes that goes back to there's some things in our lives that have not been pleasing to God. There's been some things in our lives where maybe we have heard from God, but we've chosen not to do those things that God has called us to do. And when we do that, then we miss out on times of refreshment from the Lord. And so the Lord, again, he's just reminding us that, you know, deal with your stuff. Deal with those things that I've been speaking to you about. You know, no more excuses, no more putting it aside. No, you deal with it today. You make a decision before you leave this place today that, you know what, I am going to deal with this. I'm not going to go with these excuses anymore. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to press in for God. Because God has a time of refreshing for us. God is wanting to bless us. And so we need to get to that place. Because the more we delay in doing what God calls us to do, the more we delay his blessing in our lives. And so if God has been speaking to you in certain areas and you've been kind of holding back and saying, "No, God, I don't want to do that." And you start, you know, using some excuses and, "Lord, you know, I did try that once before and this took place." And, you know, we all kind of do that at times. And God is saying, "No, if I'm calling you to do something, I'm going to help you. I will strengthen you. I will bless you. I'm going to give you the ability to do it. You just need to say yes." And so that's what God is looking for this morning. He's looking for your yes, where you say, "Yes, God, I am going to change. I'm not going to make excuses anymore. I'm going to go out all out for you." Then another part that I see in this passage of Scripture says it's time to change our thinking. You know, in these last few years, man, we've really been messed. People have been really messed up in their thinking. As we said earlier, you know, wrongs are now considered right, and right is now considered wrong. Common sense has been thrown out, and people are just acting out on their own whims today. And even as Christians, a lot of Christians are getting caught up in all of that as well. And God is saying, take charge of your thinking. Get your focus back on him and what he is saying. Because, you know, sometimes we think, "Oh, you know, I got life all figured out. Oh, I got what's happening in our world right now. I got it all figured out. Or, you know, I know what's going to happen, or this is going to take place." And God's reminding us, listen, you don't know nothing. Because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And so he's telling us that you need to deal with your thought life. You need to deal with any opinions that we have, any pride that we may have, and get our thoughts back to what God is saying and what God can do. You know, we all may have some legitimate insights in how to make the world a better place, how to solve the problems in our world. We all probably got some really good, you know, sound things that we all can say, even some of the problems that we see in our churches. But no matter how intelligent we might be, God is saying, listen, you still fall short of what I can do. And what I can think and what my thoughts are. We sometimes, you know, we put God in a little box and, you know, I'll only serve God if he only moves in this certain area. Because if God starts moving in a bigger area, I kind of get afraid or scared and I, you know, I don't press in. God is saying, listen, I work in ways that your mind doesn't even think about. I can do things where you might look at situations and circumstances and say, there is no hope, there is no way, nothing can change, nothing's going to turn around. That's not what God says. God says, all things are possible. There is nothing too hard for me to do. I can do more than you can imagine. So we want to get ourselves to that place where we start listening to what God is saying, because God can do greater things than what we can think, what we can imagine, or even in all of our great wisdom. God's still God, and God is bigger than any mountain, any situation, any circumstance, any trouble that we may be going through. God has a better solution, can make the impossible possible. So let's get rid of any thinking that's really kind of putting God in a box or making God kind of small or bringing God down to our level. He is the Almighty. There's nothing he cannot do. And so we need to do that, you know, change the thinking. Philippians 4, 8, 9, a great passage there about thinking. It says, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. You know, sometimes, you know, we can allow our minds to really wander. And sometimes, you know, we get caught up in life and things that are happening to us, and we start believing a whole bunch of lies in our head. And we need to get to that place where a peace comes. Where does the peace come from? It doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from him. And as we start focusing on him, he's going to bring the peace in our minds that we need to handle life and to continue to move throughout life. And so he's saying, time to change your thinking. Start focusing on what God is wanting to do and what God can do. Don't cut God short. We do that a lot of times. We kind of think, ah, it's not going to happen. It's, you know, because that's been our experience. We maybe haven't got that victory before. Well, we need to get to that place and say, no, God is going to make a way even when there seems to be no way. Even when it seems impossible, God is going to make a way because he declared that he can do more than what we can imagine. So no matter what you think, God's bigger, God's better, and he can do it. Amen? That's our God. But then lastly this morning, it's time to stand upon God's word, the Bible. You know, last week, Christopher did an awesome job there. It was like we were sitting in a university and listening to a message from a professor because he did a lot of work on that. But talking about the accuracy of God's word. Well, friend, you can trust God's word. We all need God's word. What God says in his word is true. We need to obey it, live it, and honor God through his word. It will produce the proper fruit in us as we read it, study it, and apply it. And we really need to be people of the word. Probably now more than ever, we need to be people of the Bible. That we know the Bible, we study the Bible, we read the Bible, we keep it close to our hearts. Isaiah 55, 11 says this, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to and it will prosper everywhere I send it. See, that's a promise. God's word will not return back void, but rather accomplish what it was sent out to do. So we need to just trust the word of God, that what the Bible says will happen, will take place, will occur in our lives. We need to trust the word, read the word, study the word, apply the word, believe the word. You know, there's really been a lot of attacks on God's word these last few years, and because a lot of Christians have kind of grown a little on the slack side of reading their Bibles, studying their Bibles. And, you know, we see that in studies that they're telling us that a lot of Christians aren't reading the Bible like they used to. Well, we really don't have an excuse for that. It's so available today, even online. And, man, you can have it on your phone. You can play it from your phone and all those kinds of things. We really need to get into the word that we would not be deceived or to believe in a gospel that is not the gospel at all. And so it's really, God is calling us as Christian people, hold to the word. Hold to the Bible. Remain strong in the Bible that you may prosper not only in God, in your relationship with God, but you might prosper in life because the Bible tells that. If you study the word, if you believe the word, if you hold to the word of God, that will lead you to success. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's what we need. Sometimes we don't have that good of desires. Sometimes we don't have the best thoughts come into our minds. So what do we need to correct that? The Word of God. And when you get the Word of God inside of you, it instantly can come against thoughts that we shouldn't be having, words that we may be expressing that we shouldn't be having, and it brings us back into alignment with God. So we need their Bibles. We need the Word of God in our lives. We need to study it, apply it, because he's reminding us today, time to stand upon my Word. Time to know the Word and hold to the Word. And so this morning, you know, this is, I really believe it's kind of more of a message that we should be starting our fall off with. I just really kind of struggled with this and just felt the Lord say, no, I want you to talk about this now, because it's time now where we need to take some action in regards to our faith and our lifestyle. And so whatever excuses we may have been using, any compromises, any stubbornness, any disobedience, anything where maybe we haven't been, you know, fully committing ourselves to the Lord, I really believe the Lord is saying to us, it's time. Time to make those corrections. Time to get serious about your relationship with God. Because God still has good things planned for our lives. There are better things yet to come, spiritually, physically, and even in our world today. So if we want to experience that more of God, we really need to press in. Really need to press in. Need to get right with God. No more delay. Now is the day. Now is the hour. Now is the time. I close with Romans 13, verse 11. It says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. It's time that we wake ourselves up. If we've been finding ourselves maybe slumbering a little bit, or, you know, not really doing what God is calling us to do, or maybe we haven't been, you know, given that 100%, God's saying to us, it's time to wake up. Time to wake up. Time to stir yourselves up and get yourself back to that place where God is number one in your life once again. And so we want to do that here this morning. And maybe you're here this morning, and we'd ask the musicians to come back to the instruments to close us off with a song. You know, maybe there's been some struggles that have been happening in your life. Maybe your Christianity hasn't been what it really should be. You know, summertime, I know we all like our vacations. I do. I had a great time. I could still be on vacation, no problem at all. But sometimes you can get a little bit on the slack side during those summer months with God. Well, God's not finished with us yet. God still has more for us. And I believe as we enter into this fall that God has something very special for this church and special for this whole area of what he is wanting to do. And, you know, sometimes in our minds, we tried that before, we said that before. And we come up with all those little thoughts. And God's saying, you need to watch your thoughts. Bring your thoughts unto me. Bring those thoughts in alignment with what I am saying today and what I desire to do today. And friend, if you're here today, maybe there's some, I really believe there's some folks here that, you know, God has had a calling on your life. He's been asking you to do some things, and you've been kind of been putting it off. And, you know, you've had some pretty good excuses. Maybe there's some things that have happened. Maybe someone ticked you off before, or maybe someone didn't appreciate you. Maybe something bad happened, and you're kind of saying, well, I ain't doing that again, man. Not a chance. I'm just going to be a Christian and do nothing else. I believe God is calling some people here this morning to say, I'm calling you back in. There's a work that I've called you to do, and I want you to do it. No more hesitation. No more excuses. It's time. It's time.